Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session.
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man who's always down for a game of ping pong, psychologist and podcaster, Melvin Varghese.
Oh, I am always down for a game of ping pong. So if you are listening to this podcast and happen to be in Philly and I happen to be available, then let's get a game going. Hey, everyone. Welcome to session 9 of the Selling the Couch podcast. My guest today is Mari Lee. And one of the first things that you'll pick up about Mari is how much she cares about our profession. As a child, Mari was in foster care, and despite numerous obstacles and challenges, this experience taught Mari to be resilient, to do what it took to create the life and the private practice that she had always envisioned. As Mari puts it, "I have learned that balance is the key in all areas of my life." In today's session of Selling the Couch, Mari shares her private practice journey with us, and how she's created a private practice that specializes in sex addiction. After today's session, you'll also learn some critical steps to take while building the foundation for your private practice, some very practical tips to balance between life and work, and also some of the ways that Mari uses her website to create products and also to distribute products for both therapists and clients. So here's my conversation with Mari Lee. Mari, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hi, Melvin. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. You know, I'm really looking forward to our conversation. It's always nice to finally be able to talk in person.
Yes, exactly. We've been email buddies for a while here, so I agree. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice and connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Mari, when I have therapists typically on the podcast, I love to ask them a quote or a mantra that's inspired them on their private practice journey. What would that be for you?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you. What a great way to start off, Melvin. I have two. One is a quote, and I love it. I have it on my, I'm looking at it right now. It's on my desktop. It's by John Shedd, and it is, "A ship is safe in harbor, but that is not what the ship was built for." Mm. And then I have a second, which is a scripture for me that I love, which is Jeremiah 29:13. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And those are my two anchors, my two affirmations and mantras, if you will.
Oh, wow. It sounds like you really keep both of those quotes like very close to you.
Yes, I do. And those folks in my life that know me well, even sometimes clients, have given me little stones or something with versions of that. So those are near and dear to my heart. Thanks, Melvin. Yeah.
For someone that's just getting started in private practice, either one of those quotes or both of them, how do you think that would be applicable to them?
For I can speak from my own experience, especially with "the ship is safe in harbor," that helped me when I started out in private practice to realize that, these dreams that I had, these aspirations, were attainable. And even though there were going to be uncharted waters, right, that I was facing, and maybe the seas would get a little bit stormy sometimes, the ship is built for that, and so with my training and you know, going on with certifications and of course, clinical hours all those years ago, many moons ago, and all of that, you know, I was really becoming equipped to be able to move in and create a private practice, really my vision of a private practice. So that's what that helped me with. And of course, Jeremiah 29:13 is something that I've held on to for many, many years of my life. Whenever I'm feeling a little bit fearful about making a professional transition or even something going on in the personal life, those are the two quotes and scriptures that I hold on to help me move through that.
Yeah, as you were talking about it, like I was just thinking how grounding both of those phrases and quotes are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, grounding is a great word for it. Mm-hmm.
When you were first starting out in private practice, I like that phrase that you used about the image of the ship and how a lot of times, you know, we're tossed into that sea and it's very uncertain. Mm-hmm. Take us to that point where you were first starting out and what was that like?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So again, it's kind of rewinding back almost a decade for me. But so during that time, 10 years ago, you know, our country was going through a lot of upheaval, a lot of economic downturn, and here I am, graduating from my MFT program, you know, an intern hot off the press, working part-time at an agency, you know, that worked with profoundly mentally ill individuals and also children, and all kinds of court-mandated groups. So that was giving me a rich environment to hone those skills and to work with a diverse population. But I was also very interested in specializing in sex and love addiction, which I know we'll probably touch on that in a little bit. And I wanted to find a private practice as an intern to be able to be employed by a psychologist that I connected with, and to learn how to do that. And it was tough for me, the fears that I faced, because there were quite a few wonderful supports, you know, just angels along the way that were positive people. But there were also other people that were a bit, you know, the negative Nellies or the fearful Freds, as I call them, that would share, you know, there's just no way that anybody can go into private practice these days. You'll have to work for an agency, or you'll have to work for the Department of Children and Family Services, or you'll have to take insurance only. And then, you know, I would hear these nightmare stories. And there was just a core of, I don't know, you know, just a core of strength and belief in myself, Melvin. Although I felt scared, I just dug in and I was determined to create a private practice while I built those hours and, you know, honed my skills over, I think it was 3 or 4 years, so that when I was licensed and ready to launch, I already had my forms in place, my website in place, all of these things. And I was hungry. I would go to seminars. I would ask questions. I would meet with a coach. I would do these things. And I was determined never to take insurance from the get-go. I thought, if I can't do it without insurance and relying on that, not that there's anything wrong with that. I want to put that out there. I think that's great if that works for a clinician. It's just not where my heart was, because I love to write and I love to create, and I didn't want to spend that extra time on hassling around with insurance companies. It didn't feel good for me. Additionally, in my specialization of sex addiction, I wanted to have more confidentiality around that work. So it was a decision I made, and it was tough, you know, because of the economy and what I would hear, but I had to face those fears and lay a really solid foundation of getting one little step at a time done, whether that was the website and focusing on that, or understanding forms, or attending a law and ethics program, or, you know, the certification for sex addiction. All of those little pieces really were like dominoes in a row falling together, so that by the time I was licensed, frankly, I had a thriving practice. I wasn't working with insurance, and was really loving what I was doing in that particular specialization. But yes, just like anyone, I had my own fears and my own worries. I remember getting my first client, Melvin, and saying to my significant other, well, I wonder if another person will call me. and from there. So if anybody's listening to this and they're having those fears, if I can do it, anybody can. I understand. I've been there.
Yeah, Mari, you bring up such a great point, which is that, you know, I think when we make that jump into private practice, there may be that time where the clients aren't quite coming, your name is not out there. But I love that image that you have of the dominoes, right? Because you use that time to to kind of set yourself up so when that time came where you were licensed, things were ready to go.
That's right. Yeah. And it was a process. You know, we can't do it all at once. And, you know, I think there's so much information that therapists are inundated with, you know, via coaches or via the internet or wherever, you know, conferences that we attend, that it just feels like, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to do it all right now in this minute. No, you know, just take your time, have your focus points, have your short and long-term goals, and just start one step at a time. But make sure that you have a goal and a vision for yourself on what, how you want to design your private practice, just like if you were designing a room or, you know, anything, you know, how do you see that working for you? What are your hours, right? What are the days of the week that you work best? I really am most creative with writing, and those, you know, creative juices flow for me first thing in the morning. And then in the afternoon and evening is when I'm most connected with individuals, where I feel most in my element, connecting and supporting, whether it's through coaching, supervision, or of course, working with my clients. So knowing that about myself, you know, I didn't listen to the folks that would say, no, you have to work really early in the morning or really late at night or on the weekends. I knew who I was. I'm 52 years old. You know, this is not my first rodeo. You know, I knew who I was, professional, right? And decided that I don't want to give up my weekends, you know, unless it's for a workshop or something.
Yeah, something that you're deciding.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I decided what my schedule was going to look like. So I encourage folks listening to this, you know, you decide, put your policy together, have a map in place for yourself.
Yeah, it's such a good point, because, and you're absolutely right, in this day and age where there is access to so much information, it's so easy, I think, to be overwhelmed just with the amount of information there is. And that can, I think, lead to paralysis.
By analysis.
Hey, we're rhyming.
Yes. By overanalysis, right? Which I have experienced that paralysis by overanalysis.
Right. No, I like the perspective, though, because you're bringing up some really good points. One is figure out what works for you, and that's okay that it, you know, that your idea and your vision is different than, you know, someone else's. Mm-hmm. And then as long as you're going in accordance and you're taking action in accordance with what you believe, at the end of the day, I feel like you're going to create a much more meaningful practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have a map. We have something that we can look at. So again, kind of going back to that quote, a ship is safe in harbor, but that is not what the ship was built for. You know, we still have to have a map and a compass and a direction that we're going in. So if you have that, if we know that there's going to be lots of steps, whether it's writing a book or creating, you know, forms or a website or a Facebook business page, or all of these elements that go into, you know, the foundation of a successful private practice, you know, we have to put that on a list. You know, there are so many great, we use Wunderlist at my center, which is a tool online that's really helpful. Some people use Trello, which is like a way of organizing. You can use an Excel or just a plain old, good old fashioned Word document with some bullet points. But make sure that you put your vision there and say, for me, I knew I wanted to work in sex and love addiction. So what does that mean? It means I have to be certified. I wanted to work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you know, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., seeing clients, and then running, facilitating support groups on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. And then I wanted Mondays to myself to, you know, be creative. And now those Mondays are filled with consulting and coaching clients and supervisees, and same for Fridays. And then for me, I wanted to take every fifth week off. So I work very hard. We know as business people, it's a lot. If you're an entrepreneur, you're working all the time.
Mm-hmm,
it's like a garden that you're growing, right? You're watering one day and weeding the next, mm-hmm. and pruning and so forth on your business. But every fifth week, so this week is my fifth week off, I schedule out a fifth week, quote unquote, off, meaning that I schedule in writing, I'm working on a new website. You know, we're doing this interview tomorrow. I present to a women's group in Los Angeles. So even though I'm off that week, I'm not seeing clinical clients, I'm still working on my business, on my practice, and growing that practice. And just, having some downtime to fill my cup as a therapist so that I'm not burning out, you know?
Yeah, Mari, I'm so glad that we connected, because it's mm-hmm. just, it's neat to hear the wisdom by which you approach your life and your practice. That it's just so apparent that you place yourself first. And mm-hmm. I think especially when we start any kind of a business, it can almost feel like we're pulled in all different ways, and I have to do this all the time and focus on this and that. And it's easy to burn out. And I just love how you think about yourself first, because I get the sense that you know that if you have time for rest, during those times to rest and recharge, that also gives you the energy to do the work much more efficiently.
Yes, thank you, Melvin. I appreciate that. That's very kind. You know, I came into that, right? I came into that wisdom. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I was, you know, probably like a lot of folks, you know, okay, great, sounds good. I'm just going to take anybody that calls, you know, and that didn't work out so well, you know, and over the years, again, you know, I look at myself as a work in progress, you know, though I've written books and though I speak nationally and all of that, you know, I'm still Mari, you know, I'm still growing and learning, and feel really humble and grateful to have the opportunity to talk to you today, Melvin, and to share and support other healing individuals in the world. It's important that we share, you know, what wisdom we have come into. But in the beginning, I stumbled and worked too many hours in a row, and I found myself burning out. I remember a professor in graduate school that I really loved so much saying, you know, to thine own self be true, everybody. In this work, you can burn out. And I remember thinking naively, you know, at the time, how do you burn out as a therapist? I mean,
like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I'm sitting in a nice office. I'm listening to people's problems. How hard is that? Mm-hmm. You know, little did I know, right? So it took me some time to hit my stride and find my pace. I remember at one point I was seeing, I think it was like I was working 5 days a week, seeing 8 clients a day. So talk about burnout. So for me, my sweet spot is to see 4 to 5 clients. So about 15 therapy clients, 12 to 15 a week. Mm. I feel really good. That's a great, and then I love doing group work. So facilitating 2 to 3 groups a week. And then I absolutely adore supporting other therapists. And I'm also a certified sex addiction supervisor. So I make room for a couple of, you know, phone sessions on Monday and Friday, or coaching sessions. So I found that sweet spot, you know, that good pace for me. And that might look different for somebody else, of course, you know. But again, I think that the message that I'm trying to underscore here is hearkening back to my professor's words, to thine own self be true. Believe that, you know, if those are the hours that work best for you, go for it. Create that. And people will come. What I mean by that, Melvin, let's say, you know, you're a therapist listening to this, and you're seeing clients, you're just building your practice, and you're seeing clients, let's say on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you've got 5 clients, and you're seeing those clients on Tuesday, you've got a 3 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, and a 7 o'clock client, right? Mm-hmm. The next person that calls, tell that client what time you have available. Don't let them dictate when they're going to see you.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it, right?
Right.
You have the power.
You have the power. So let them know I have a 4 o'clock on Tuesday, or, you know, a 6 o'clock on Thursday. Which spot would you like? Mm-hmm. And the client will adjust. We all adjust, mm-hmm. don't we, when we go to the dentist or the doctor or our own therapist? So, mm-hmm. you know, do something, put it together where it works for your lifestyle.
Well, I think the big thing that I'm hearing is the first and most important step is learn to value yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mari, you know, one of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about in just the few minutes that we have was you have a virtual store on your website, and I wanted to hear a little bit more about that and your process around, you know, how you put that together.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. Thank you, Melvin. So my virtual store on my website is kind of exciting. My website is going through a facelift right now, and that's been fun. My assistant and I and our web designer, we're all meeting after this, and we're going to be doing some creative things. But yeah, currently in my website, I have a website store that's something new in the last about year and a half or 2 years. And how that came about is for a long time, I have found it hard, just myself as a therapist and other therapists would share with me, it's really hard to find clinical exercises to work with, whether it's a client dealing with anger or addiction or boundaries issues or family of origin stuff or family rules and rules, you name it, right? Inner child stuff, guided imagery, whatever it is. And so over the years, as I would try and hunt around for these exercises, because I'm a writer and I love to write, I just began creating exercises for clients that I'd be working with. To the tune now, I think I've got over 200 exercises now that I've created over this last decade. And whenever I would go and speak, as I, got more solid in my practice and a little more well-known, certainly after my book was published and whatnot, and I would speak at conferences, I would be asked by dozens. I would, go to the hotel room, open up my email, and there'd be dozens of emails from attendees asking for exercises that I had used in the workshop because they wanted to take them into their own practice and use with clients. So I created an ebook. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to create this ebook. I'd given away exercises for years and happy always to do that as a support. But I thought, all right, this is a little, dream that I have, a practice dream that I want to grow. I want to create an ebook. I've already done the Amazon, published book. I want to do something that's really accessible just for therapists. And so I created the, it's called the Creative Clinician Exercises and Activities for Clients in Group Therapy. And it's 31 of my best, sort of most beloved exercises. I hired a copy editor and a graphic designer, and because I wanted the product to be beautiful, Melvin, and like a book, for any therapist that purchased it, they could download that and there it was, with exercises, full copyright to use as often as they want. But then how was I going to get that out there in the world, And so that was a learning curve for me. Again, we're always growing as business owners. And so I worked with my virtual assistant and we figured out how to create a store on my website, how to link that to PayPal, how to create a shopping cart, all of that stuff. And it's just been a blast. I've loved it. And since then have developed some other products and whatnot. But that was what started it, was a Creative Clinician. So that was the birth of the store. And I just think it's, if you are a creative clinician and that's something that you've always wanted to do, don't be afraid to do that. You know, you may need some assistance because I'm okay tech savvy. I don't write code. I know my way around better than I used to, but I'm certainly not a techie by any stretch of the imagination. So, you will have to, unless you are a techie person, maybe have some assistance in setting that up.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you're thinking about your website because you're seeing it both for clients but also for clinicians.
Definitely, yes. I want it to be, in fact, I have a whole portal just for, and on the new websites, just for professionals to go in, have resources. If they need a packet of forms, they can purchase them, just all of it. Also just supportive information and blog stuff. It's a passion. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it's just hearing your voice, I can tell like how much you care, like for both your clients and also for, our profession. And
I do.
It's just neat to, like you had this idea, you noticed that, like, it makes me want to go get this now. So,
oh, thanks. Yeah, it's been fun. It's funny because when we were finally ready to launch, it took about a year to put all this together. I'm a recovering perfectionist, you could say, So I really wanted it to be a beautiful product. But then when I launched it, and it started, it was like sort of birthing a baby, like, oh my gosh, I'm putting the baby in the world. This is kind of scary. I wonder how it will be received. And, there was an investment of time for a year and certainly money in paying professionals, to support my work in creating that. You can't do it alone. You need a team. And I thought I said to myself, you know what? If I don't sell anything at all, that's fine because I've at least accomplished my goal and my dream and I'm proud of that.
Yeah. So it was for you, it was about as much about just taking that step, right?
It was just about taking that step. Mm-hmm. But actually, in the first week, it sold 100 copies.
Wow.
Yeah. So I covered my expenses and made a little extra. And since then, I think it's been over a year now, just over a year. I think we're at 300 or something.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, it's exciting. So I think, again, the message behind all that, it's not so much about the creative clinician, but my point really is a point of support, Melvin, is if a therapist is listening to this or somebody in the healing arts and you have an idea for an ebook or a product, you know, don't be afraid to explore that. I didn't know anything about it. I had to do my homework. You know, I had to download, buy, look at other ebooks, you know, and get a sense of how that's done. But, you know, go for it. If you have a vision, we don't just have to be, you know, in the therapy room, you know, we're taking it off the couch, right? Mm. And looking at other ways of developing income streams.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. thank you so much for sharing that, Mari.
Thank you.
We are at the hot couch round. You ready to get started?
Oh, okay. Yes, you told me about this on the hot couch. I think I am ready. Yes, let's
okay,
go for it.
Let's do it. What's a daily habit that you believe contributes to your success?
Walking, definitely. Hiking in nature, big nature person. Prayer and definitely meditation.
What's an online resource that's been invaluable to your private practice?
Oh my gosh, where to begin? Okay, off the top of my head, Squarespace, Facebook business page, and Google Drive.
What is your favorite business-related book?
For inspiration is Love's Executioner by Irving Yalom. For just basic, really good, solid private practice stuff, like how-to stuff, is all of Lynn Grodzki's books, great books. And then just personal inspiration as a professional would be The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. And maybe as a professional, also Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. Mm. I know those are four. Sorry, I can't choose one.
those are all great books. So I'll be sure to list them.
Thank you.
What's one tip that you would give to someone who's thinking about starting a private practice?
So number one, what we've been talking about, never stop learning. Don't ever be afraid to lean into new areas as well. You know, be open to growth. I think also along those lines, you know, be kind to others. You know your worth. Surround yourself with a tribe of really positive, like-minded folks. Meaning, you know, stay away from the negative Nellies and the fearful Freds. Be kind to them, the envious Irmas. Just really know who your tribe. You know,
I love these
who your
names.
Right, who your tribe is. And of course, we talked earlier. Have that solid business plan, that focus, so that you have a map. Your ship has a map. And operate legally and ethically. Always, always, always have good, solid legal and ethical boundaries.
Absolutely. And your last question is, imagine that you were starting your private practice all over again. You have $500 and your laptop. What is the first step that you would take toward building your private practice?
Oh, no-brainer, a website.
Mari, you are off the hot couch.
Okay, I hope I did all right.
Oh, you did fantastic. I felt like you had so much experience, and I could just tell by your voice how intentional you are about what you say, and thank you so much for sharing that with our audience today.
So happy to do that and be of support. And yeah, just really glad always to share any tips and support with, you know, other therapists out there. We, again, can't do this in a vacuum. And, you know, so any time I can be of support like this, I'm just very happy to do it, Melvin.
And Mari, what's the best way to reach you?
People can certainly go to my website. It is www.growthcounselingservices.com. That's growthcounselingservices.com. My email is mari@growthcounselingservices.com. And probably that's the best way of reaching me.
Great. Mari, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, Melvin, thanks so much. And thank you for the good work that you're doing in the world. It's, again, such a pleasure to have met you this way.
Of course. Yeah, I'm really glad we connected. Take good care.
Me too. You too. Bye now.
Bye. Hey, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mari Lee. So I think one of the big things that I'm taking away from this conversation is the importance of being intentional and very planful as you start your small business journey. So I'm even thinking about me starting this blog. And if I could distill it down to what I basically have learned, what works is there's a time where I dream about what things I want to do. And then there's a time where I plan what all that's going to look like. And then there's a time where I just execute. And so if I could just distill it down, it's this repeated pattern of dreaming, planning, and executing that I feel like has helped the blog and the podcast to be what it is. And I think that's the same advice that Mari gives, especially as you start your private practice. You know, I think a lot of times when we want to start and get started with private practice, our tendency is to want to just jump in. And a common theme that's been coming up with all of the guests that I've had so far is the importance of planning and building a good foundation. So I would definitely think about that and think about some of those critical steps that you need to take with regard to building your practice. And I think one of those first steps is imagining what your practice would look like, but also the very practical things. What days do you want to work? What types of clients do you want to see? Do you want to have a mix between seeing individual clients and group clients? Do you want to have time for blogging? Do you want to actually create some products on the side? And so I think these are steps and things that you can do to think about as you start to build your own private practice. And I think the other thing to remember is some of this will inevitably change and you'll have to tweak it. Like for me, to be honest, as I've started this podcast, I had one vision of what it looked like and it's been constantly changing. So even as you look to this episode, right, like when I first started, I was very concrete. I would start the introductions, just introduce the person. And now as I've gotten, you know, more comfortable, I do a little bit more of a narrative session to introduce the client. So as much as you plan, you know, just also be willing to be flexible. And I think that's a great reminder that Mari reminds us. To get show notes for today's episode, you can find that at sellingthecouch.com/session9. Have a great week, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.